Hey everyone, and welcome once again. I'm really glad to have you here. So I never want to miss a chance to just let you know, say welcome. We're glad to have you here today, glad to have you tuning in online as well. No matter where it is you are joining us today, we're really just glad to have this time to share with you today. We are in a brand new series called One. Last week we talked about the one prayer that Jesus actually prayed for you and he prayed for me. It was a prayer that our unity in the church would help people outside of the church to know of God's love for them. Today we're going to talk about the one purpose of God's in the world today that actually includes you and me. It's week number two in this series called One, which we are collaborating with. I'm really excited about this series. We're collaborating with two of our sister churches, Cedarbrook Church in Menominee, Renew Church in Eau Claire. Pastors James Brown and Jamie Staples will be visiting here in the weeks to come, and I'll be visiting there. And so I'm really excited about this neat partnership. James, Jamie, and myself, we are taking the next 5 weeks to introduce to you five different topics that we really do believe will help all of us to develop a single focus in a divided world. That's something that we feel like we could use today, a single focus in a divided world, because divided we are. As I alluded to at the top of the hour, this has been a long week. If you're anything like me, you're exhausted from the last week, probably even from the last few months even. Speaking very specifically to the political season that we are in, it has really been like no other. And what took place on Tuesday, what took place in the months leading up to it, and now what's taking place in the days after, it has really demonstrated that not only are we divided, as I mentioned, but it's also highlighted for us that oftentimes we are just different. Right, this election season, maybe more than anything else, has highlighted for us the reality that oftentimes we think and we act and we believe and we behave differently at times, very differently than people around us every single day. And we're seeing that. I mean, if I can just be honest, it's crazy out there right now. I mean, up and down the ballots that were just cast, I mean, we're seeing recounts and runoffs and razor-thin margins. I'm not sure there has ever been a time when we have been so distinctly divided as a nation that splits us right down the middle and then scatters us into separate corners, into distinct camps all across the nation. Now, the reality is that diversity is a really great thing. It's a really beautiful thing. But what we're experiencing is not necessarily diversity. What we're experiencing is straight up division. And at times, it can be ugly. And so sometimes I can't help but wonder, when I really think about this, when I really think about just where we are at in the world today, I can't help but wonder, what's next for us? I mean, where do we go from here as a nation? I mean, it isn't, you know, certain, or at least it wasn't a few days ago, that, you know, there's going to be a winner. Do we have a winner? Do we not have a winner in the presidential election and even Senate races across the country? There's question marks everywhere, right? But here's the deal. Even if we knew every single winner declared right this morning, right, the election is finally a thing of the past. Even if there was certainty in that today, right after church, man, this whole deal is over. The truth is, I don't see our differences, and I don't see the division that we're experiencing right now as a nation going away necessarily anytime soon. So really, the question comes back to me, what do we do? I mean, where do we go from here? How do we move forward as a nation? Heck, how do we move forward as a community? How do we move forward as a church? How do we move forward in some of our own families today when our differences are so staggering? Interestingly enough, this is not the first time in human history when our differences scattered us into seemingly opposite directions. In fact, there was a moment in history, there was a moment in the days of the Old Testament when it was God who did the scattering because of some differences that he created among his people, differences that they had never experienced before. And so that's the story, and that's the moment in history that I want all of us to explore today, because I think there is something really valuable for us to learn when we examine this story. And so that's what I want to look at today. To do that, what we're going to do is we're going to turn all the way back to the beginning, to the book of Genesis, to this moment when God established, out of nowhere, God established one of the most obvious, one of the most distinct differences among his people that sent them scattering into different corners of the world. And we're going to look at why exactly he did this and what it means for all of us today. So if you have a Bible in front of you, you can turn to Genesis chapter 11. You can also take a look at the side screens as well. As you turn your attention there, let me take a second to just fill in some blanks, okay? This moment that we're going to explore today, the book of Genesis, it's post-flood, okay? So it's post-Noah and the ark. God finally turned off the water and he hit the reset button with Noah and his family, and the ark, you know, finally came to rest on dry ground somewhere in the intersection of what is now modern day, like Turkey, Russia, and Iran, okay? And so the question is, now that God has hit the reset button, did God's people always get it right? Unfortunately, the answer is no. Human sin didn't stop just because the rain did. Okay? And so that brings us then now to chapter 11, actually a whole 300 years later to be exact. And so here's Genesis chapter 11, starting in verse 1. It says, "At one time, all of the people of the world spoke the same language and they used the same words. And as the people migrated to the east, they found a plain in the land of Babylonia and settled there. They began saying to each other, 'Let's make bricks and harden them with fire.'" And then the Bible adds this interesting note. "In this region, bricks were used instead of stone, and tar was used for mortar." Okay, let me stop right here very quickly. This last little detail that's added in here that the author of Genesis kind of puts in, it might seem like insignificant details. Bricks and stone, you know, tar and mortar, blah, blah, blah. Who really cares? Why say anything about it? But these are actually not insignificant details to this story, okay? Because these details are a testament at the time. They're a testament to the ingenuity and the innovation of these people. Ingenuity that actually would soon get God's attention. Mesopotamian archaeology will actually show that in this region, at this time, for the first time, these people had developed a skill, I mean, a kind of a revolutionary skill to make kiln-baked bricks with a material known as bitumen, which then became waterproof, which was a good thing. These bricks became waterproof, and yet they were still as strong as stone, okay? And so what this demonstrates is that, man, this group of people, they are a smart, capable, innovative, impressive group of people. And they're onto something, okay? And they know it, okay? So here's verse 4. "Then they said," listen to this, "then they said, 'Come, let's build back Babylon better.'" No, they didn't say that. Okay, let me try again. Here's verse 4. See if this one works. "Then they said, 'Come, let's make Babylon great again.'" Either one? No? Okay. Neither of those are true, actually. Okay. Don't quote me on that. Don't say that Sten reads wrong Bible verses. Okay. Here's the deal. They didn't say either of those things. Not true. But neither of them were all that far off. Here is the actual verse 4. "Then they said," look at this, "'Come, let's build a great city for ourselves with a tower that reaches into the sky, that reaches into the heavens. This will make us famous,' they say." Some translations say, "We'll make a great name for ourselves." And pay attention to this. "This will make us famous and keep us," listen, "and keep us from being scattered all over the world." Okay, here's the deal, folks. Human nature today has not necessarily changed a whole lot. People still love to be famous. People still love to make a great name for themselves. People love to build big, tall towers and careers and reputations and slap their name on it so that their name lives on long after they die. People are still captivated and thrilled today by ingenuity and innovation and creativity that allows us to build and create and advance and provide for ourselves as a society today. Okay, so this is kind of the scenario where God's people were. Impressive group of people making some remarkable, achievements, okay? And as I mentioned before, all of this got God's attention, okay? But God was not necessarily impressed. In fact, God was not pleased. Look at verse 5. It says this, "But the Lord came down to look at the city and the tower the people were building. Look, he said, the people are united and they all speak the same language. And after this, he says, nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them." And so he says, "Come, let's go down." Who is he talking to? Okay, if you're a Bible scholar, this is actually kind of an early indication of the Trinity, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He says, "Come, let us go down and confuse the people with" what? "With different languages. Then they won't be able to understand each other." Okay, he's getting worried. He's going, man, if this is the rate that they are progressing, nothing that they do on their own is gonna be impossible for them. So he says, "Come, let's go down, confuse them with different languages, then they won't be able to understand each other." Okay, so here's the deal. They're making great progress, okay? So much so that God makes sure, right? He brings an end to this. He makes sure that the next time one of them turns to his left, right, and asks a buddy for a brick, his buddy said, "No habla inglés." Right? "Je ne parle pas français." They're looking at each other like, and the whole thing stops. There's confusion everywhere, right? He brings the whole project to a halt. Okay, that's not all. Here's verse 8. It says, "In that way, the Lord scattered them all over the world, and they stopped building the city. That is why the city was called Babel, because it is where the Lord confused the people with different languages. In this way, he scattered them all over the world." Babel literally means to confuse, to scatter. And so that's why the story of the Tower of Babel, it reminds us of this moment when God made them different and scattered them across the earth. Okay. Now, I'm just going to guess maybe at this point that there is one question, maybe, that you're starting to ask yourself right now, maybe wishing you could ask me. If I was hearing this story for the first time, I think this is a question that I would be asking myself. Here's that question. Why? Why would God do that? I mean, why would he make them different? Why would he scatter them into separate corners all across the earth? It said they were united. I mean, you'd think that was a good thing, right? In fact, you might be going, hey, isn't that what you just talked about last week, Sten? Wasn't it Jesus that prayed for unity? Didn't you just talk about that this past Sunday? Why would God really have a problem with all of this? It's a very legit question because yes, you're right. If you're thinking, hey, didn't you just talk about this, Sten? You're right. Generations later, this is exactly what Jesus prayed for, unity, right? But in this scenario, at this moment in time, God's concerned. Okay, so why? Okay, is God jealous? It's one option, right? Is God jealous, right? Is his people making a great name for themselves? Is that threatening to God? I mean, is he afraid of a little healthy competition, right? So does he not want his people to be all that successful in what it is that they do? Or maybe, right? Maybe God is just that old-fashioned. I mean, maybe he doesn't like creativity. Maybe he doesn't like ingenuity or innovation. Maybe he's looking on going, no, you guys are doing it all wrong. You're supposed to use stone for the tower. That's the way we've always done it. It's always worked out for us just fine. Okay, maybe he's really resistant to change. Okay, the answer to both of those possibilities, the answer to both of those questions is no. Okay, God is not jealous of people's success, of people's ingenuity, and no, God is not old-fashioned, okay? There's two reasons, hang with me here, okay? There's two reasons that God was most displeased with this. Here's the first. They were directly disobeying God's command to disperse and to replenish the earth. Okay, this was God's command in the very beginning to Adam and Eve in the garden, and it's the very same command that God gave to Noah and to his sons right after the flood when he hit reset. In fact, if you look at Genesis chapter 9, just two chapters before, right? If you look at Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, God says to Noah and his sons, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth. Okay? He says it in the beginning, and then he says it again to Noah when he hits reset. He said, hey, Noah, that's your job, right? Those are your marching orders. I'm starting all over with you, my man, right? Through you and through your family and through all of your descendants, I'm going to bless this whole entire world. So what is he telling him to do? Spread out. And spread the good news. That was the purpose that God cared most about. But how did his people respond? Let's just take matters into our own hands. Let's just build a big old place of our own right here. So what? So that we don't have to. What do they say? So that we don't have to scatter all over the world. Okay? They're going, man, we'll be more powerful, we'll be more influential, and we'll be way safer and way more comfortable if we just stay here and build this place for all of us, right? God had a purpose on earth, and it included them, right? God had a purpose that included them, and it was actually a purpose that really teed them up, right? To be best supporting actor, right? To be working in this thing right alongside of him, and yet they disobeyed, and so God was disappointed. That's the first thing that he's upset about. Now, here's the second thing that God is displeased with. They became totally self-reliant, okay? That they start to bank on themselves and their own innovation and their own creativity and their own, you know, ingenuity, right? They start to bank on themselves and what it is that they can do and create and provide for themselves. They start thinking to themselves, man, we don't need to listen to God's commands on this deal. We don't need to scatter across the whole earth, right? We can come up with our own way to do what God wants, and we could probably do it better anyway. Okay? In a way, this is the same kind of lie that Satan whispered to Eve in the garden when he said, you don't have to listen to God's commands, right? Why would he be holding out on you? Okay? Think of all that you could do if you just had this knowledge that God was keeping from you, right? In both instances, right, it was all about them. It was all about them making a great name for themselves, them doing things their own way, okay? And that's what gets God's attention. Okay, that's what gets God's attention in this moment that we're looking at today. So what did God do, right? He confused the people with what? With different languages. And in this way, it said, he scattered them all over the world. Okay, progress stopped dead in its tracks. There's confusion everywhere. People scattering into all different corners of the world. Okay. And it's at this point here that we need to understand something. I want us to understand something very important here. About this moment, okay, about what God has done, about this scattering, okay? Here's what we need to understand. This wasn't punishment. This wasn't anger. It wasn't jealousy, or it wasn't anything else. In fact, it was never, okay, this whole scenario, it was never about punishment. It was always about purpose, okay? It wasn't a curse on God's people. It was recalibration for the sake of God's picture of eternity. Okay? Revelation 7:9 paints a picture of God's kind of ideal scenario for eternity. It paints a picture of what this is supposed to look like. Here's what it says. Revelation 7, verse 9. After this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation, every tribe, every people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. Okay? This is the picture of eternity, okay? And all of a sudden, I think God is seeing that this picture was in jeopardy, okay? And so he intervened. He said, man, if I don't do something dramatic very soon, this is not going to end well. This is not going to end with that picture coming to fruition. So here's the thing. I think when we become too full of ourselves, when we become too obsessed with our own importance, our own success, too fixated on elevating ourselves to the top of you know, the tower that we're building, and we all know that towers come in all different shapes and sizes, right? When that happens, when we become too fixated on elevating ourselves to the top of our own towers, God has endless and clever and unexpected ways of scrambling our efforts, thwarting our plans, and sometimes even confusing us to the point that we are not able to get too far out ahead of him. And I think that's what's at stake here with this tower that God's people were building. And so God stepped in. He made them different and sent them scattering. Okay. So what in the world then does any of this have to do with us right now, okay? This is a great story. There's actually quite a lot in the story that has, I think, some really amazing application to your life and to mine. But when it comes to our differences today, because that's where I began, okay? When it comes to our differences today, here's what this story says to me. That our differences, they're not meant to drive us apart as much as they're meant to drive us toward God and God's purposes. Are you catching this? Okay. Our differences, they're not meant to drive us apart as much as they're meant to drive us toward God and to God's purposes, okay? In this moment, it was all the people in one place building one tower, speaking one language with one purpose in mind that was not God's purpose. And so God says, no, you guys aren't getting it. I cannot let you ruin what I intended for now and what I intended for eternity. And so God confuses them and scatters them all over the world. Here's what I think. I think that God is, I think that he was then, and I think he still is willing to do whatever it takes. I think he's still willing to do whatever it takes to preserve his purpose in the world and to preserve his picture of eternity, his hope for eternity, that one day every nation, every tribe, and every tongue would truly worship at the throne of God. And so I can't help but think and wonder, maybe God is willing to let us right now today experience the same kind of setbacks, the same kind of confusion, the same kind of chaos, if it meant turning to him. If it meant you and me doing our part to preserve his intended picture of eternity with us. And maybe, I don't know, there's a lot going on, but maybe this is a little bit of what we're experiencing in a world right now that's confused, that feels chaotic, that's divided, and that oftentimes feels like, man, we're all just set back by what it is right now that makes us different. So in light of this story, there's a few questions that start bouncing around in my mind as maybe a helpful way forward for us today, okay? Those questions are these. What if we started to think a little bit differently about the people who were so different from us, okay? What if we thought a little bit differently about the person who voted differently than us? What if we thought a little bit differently about our neighbor who was passionate about something that we just weren't as passionate about? What if we thought a little bit differently about our friends or maybe even our own siblings who raised their kids a little bit differently than we do? What if we thought a little bit differently about the person a few seats over in church? Don't look at them right now. Okay. What if we thought a little bit differently even about the people a few seats over in church who focus their efforts in a different part of society or in a different part of the community or a different part of the world than we did? Okay. What if we started to move beyond just gritting our teeth and tolerating those people that were different from us? And what if we instead started, made an attempt at least to look at the world through their eyes? What if we started maybe even giving thanks for the way they see the world and for how their heart beats and for how they might move the needle for God in this world because of it? Okay, I know this is a lot of big what ifs, right? And just to be very clear, some of these are big what ifs for me. Okay, this stuff isn't easy for me at times, but here's the deal. I just do not want us to see our differences as a reason for us to be driven apart even further. But my hope is that we would see some of these differences as an opportunity to be driven to God's purposes more. What if what made us different was simply an opportunity for more of us to be more a part of God's mission, to see more Jesus followers in more places in a more caring and just world? See, I think when this is the case, when this is our focus, God's purposes and how we're all a part of that, I think when this is the case, then our concern is far less about who's to our left and who's to our right. Our concern is a lot less this way, okay? And it's so much more this way. It's so much more what's happening here. And so then it's these questions, man. What if we stopped fighting about what made us different and instead started to champion the impact that someone could make in a different part of the world than we could? What if we stopped insisting and demanding that everyone be building the same tower that we're building, and instead celebrated the fact that someone else was gonna do something great for God somewhere else that we wouldn't have done, or that maybe we would not have even thought of on our own? Okay, now let me just say this. I don't want anyone to misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm sure right now that there's a few of you on edge, okay, asking a few different questions. So let me be very clear here. I'm not saying that we need to look at every single difference and every single disagreement this way. The truth is, not every issue is equal, okay? As followers of Jesus, to be very clear, sometimes there are differences that exist between us and the rest of the world that we sometimes cannot overlook. But we do need to be as wise as possible to which differences those are. Okay. I recently saw this idea demonstrated from a sister church in the area. I saw this idea demonstrated very well with the use of a simple bullseye. You should be able to see it here on the side screens. Okay, the outer ring should be comprised of things that we or that you will discuss. Okay, the middle ring then should be comprised of things that we or that you will defend, and the center target at the very center of it all should be comprised of the things that we will or that you will die for. You're going, I will fight for this thing until the very end. Okay, this is a hill that I am willing to die on. Okay, as a church, there are some things that this world thinks differently about that we or that I'll just say I would be willing to die for. Okay, there's a handful of them. Here's just a few examples of some things, some truth that I would be willing to die for. That the Bible is the inspired word of God. Okay, that there is only one God. Okay, that all of us, hey, in all parts of the world, no matter who we are, what we've done, that all of us are made in the image of God, and that salvation is found in Jesus Christ alone. Okay? These are just a few statements, a few examples of the truths that I'm willing to die for. Okay? The problem, I think, is right now, I think where we're getting into trouble a little bit today, I think the problem for many of us is that we put too many things into the will die for category that really should be in the will defend category, or maybe even the will discuss category, or maybe in no category at all. I don't know. Okay? And it's some of these things. It's some of these differences and these outer rings and these other categories that I think we let divide us way too much. It's some of those differences, okay, that I just want to encourage us to think a little bit differently about today. It's those differences that I want us to see as differences that are not meant to drive us apart as much as they are meant to drive us toward God, to drive us towards God's purpose, not only in the world today, okay, but God's purposes for the picture of eternity, of every nation, tribe, and tongue. coming before him. Friends, our differences are not always problems to solve as much as they are opportunities to leverage for the sake of the kingdom, right? The differences that exist between us, they are not always, every time, problems to solve and things to fight about as much as they are opportunities to leverage for the sake of the kingdom. What makes us different at times is just a unique gift. What makes you different is just a unique gift that God has given you, that God has given all of us to be used for God's purposes. So the final questions here are this: how will you leverage that? How will you leverage who God created you to be for God's sake in the world? And maybe more importantly, maybe more challenging, how can you champion who God created your neighbor to be for God's sake and for God's purpose as well? In today's world, that, right, someone who thinks like that, that really is a different kind of person. And I think our world right now needs churches who are full of that kind of different. Let me pray for us. God, we pause today to recognize what it is that I have been saying all morning. That we really are divided, God. A divided nation, divided communities. God, sometimes, as much as we wish it wasn't true, God, sometimes our churches are divided. And God, there's a lot of things that we care so much about. There's a lot of things that we're passionate about. And there's a lot of things that we realize make us different from our neighbors or from the people across the street or from the people across town or from the people across the way on a Sunday morning, God. And so I just pray that you would help us to think very clearly, very wisely about those things that make us different, God. And for any of those things, God, that are not things that we need to really be willing to die for, God, for anything that is not, the main thing that you have called us to, God, I pray that you would just help us to reframe how it is that we look at people who are different than us. God, I pray that we would be able to move beyond just kind of tolerating them being around, God, but I pray that you might help us in the right area in our life. God, I pray that you might help us to really start to give thanks, to celebrate, to champion even someone who's different from us, that's impacting your kingdom, God, in a whole new way, in a way that's honoring to others, in a way that's honoring to you, and in a way that's moving all things to the picture that we can't wait to be a part of, God. Every nation, every tribe, every tongue coming before you. So God, would you be our guide? This stuff is not easy. And so we're asking that you would be our guide to know how we move forward together, to know how and where and when and with who, God, we champion and we celebrate what makes us different so that all of us can make a great big deal about who you are and about how you're working in the world. God, we ask for your help in this. Thank you for this morning and the chance to be together. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen. Hey, thanks so much for being here. We are really excited to keep this series going, and we are really hoping that you will be either back here at Camp St. Croix or that you'll be online next Sunday at 10:30 as our series 1 continues. Have a great Sunday. We'll see you soon. God bless.